When Oprah Winfrey featured The Mastery of Love on her show in 2001, she called it a practical guide to the art of relationship that changed her perspective on love forever. Since then, this little book has sold over 7 million copies worldwide and been translated into 40 languages. Don Miguel Ruiz, a former neurosurgeon who experienced a near-death experience that led him to become a spiritual teacher, distills ancient Toltec wisdom into accessible insights about love that have resonated with everyone from Hollywood celebrities to spiritual seekers. What makes this book so compelling is how it challenges our fundamental assumptions about relationships. Rather than offering superficial advice, it dives deep into why we struggle to love and be loved, presenting a revolutionary idea. The greatest obstacle to love isn't finding the right person, it's healing our relationship with ourselves. Through the lens of Toltec philosophy, Ruiz invites us to examine how we've been domesticated to fear rather than love and offers a pathway back to our natural state of happiness. The Toltec were not a race, but a community of scientists and artists in ancient Mexico who gathered at Teotihuacan, the place where man becomes God. For thousands of years, they preserved spiritual knowledge through lineages of Nahuals, masters, who protected these teachings during times of conquest and misuse of power. These teachings were kept secret for generations, with prophecies foretelling a time when this wisdom would return to the people. The wisdom Ruiz shares isn't a religion, but a way of life centered on accessing happiness and love. In the Toltec tradition, we are all dreaming, creating our own personal reality through our beliefs and perceptions. This dream of the planet is the collective dream we're born into, complete with social rules, beliefs, and expectations that shape our understanding of ourselves and relationships. Think about how differently people experience the same relationship. One partner might feel deeply fulfilled, while the other feels trapped. Same relationship, completely different experiences. This illustrates how we each live in our own dream, interpreting everything through our unique filters and wounds. The Toltec path involves becoming aware of how we've been domesticated by society's expectations and healing the wounds that prevent us from experiencing love. A Toltec is described as an artist of love who creates their life as a masterpiece through the art of dreaming, consciously choosing beliefs that create happiness rather than suffering. What makes this approach so powerful for relationships is that it doesn't focus on changing others, but on transforming ourselves. When we heal our own wounds and shift from fear to love, our relationships naturally transform. This is why celebrities like Ellen DeGeneres have cited Ruiz's work as transformative. It offers a path to love that doesn't depend on finding the perfect partner, but on becoming whole within ourselves. The core message is revolutionary yet simple. We don't need to search for love outside ourselves. We are born with an unlimited capacity to love, but our domestication teaches us to reject ourselves and seek validation externally. By reclaiming our self-love, we can create relationships based on sharing joy rather than filling emotional voids. As children, we don't intellectualize love, we simply live it. Watch any toddler and you'll see pure emotional expression without overthinking or self-consciousness. Children perceive emotions directly, accepting or rejecting people based on how they feel around them, not on complex social calculations. Our emotional alarm system is fear, designed to warn us when something is wrong, just as physical pain alerts us to bodily harm. But through domestication, the process by which we're taught society's rules and expectations, we learn to fear inappropriately, developing anxiety about things that pose no real threat. Think about a child who's punished for expressing joy by playing with their father's guitar. The child experiences a deep sense of unfairness that wounds their emotional body. They learn that expressing their authentic self leads to rejection, creating the first crack in their natural self-love. These wounds accumulate what Ruiz calls emotional poison, the residue of fear, anger, and resentment that builds up from experiencing injustice. Over time, we develop fear-based patterns and lose our natural tendency to forgive. We become afraid to be ourselves, constantly seeking approval and avoiding rejection. This explains why many adults struggle with vulnerability. When Sarah, a workshop participant, shared her story of growing up with critical parents, she realized she developed a pattern of perfectionism to avoid criticism. In relationships, she'd hide her true feelings and needs, fearing that showing her authentic self would lead to abandonment. This pattern, formed in childhood, created distance in her adult relationships. The emotional poison we carry gets transferred in relationships through what Ruiz calls hooking others' attention. Like when partners argue, passing poison back and forth until it grows unbearably. One person's fear triggers the other's defenses, creating escalating cycles of emotional reactivity. This is why humans hunt for power. The more powerful we are, the easier it is to release our poison onto those who cannot defend themselves. This creates abusive relationships. But Ruiz emphasizes that no one is to blame for this mental disease, just as we wouldn't blame someone for having a physical illness. Understanding this process helps us develop compassion for ourselves and others. When we recognize that people's hurtful behaviors stem from their own wounds, we can stop taking their actions personally. And when we see how our own fears drive our relationship patterns, we can begin the healing process. Imagine two parallel train tracks stretching into the horizon. One track represents fear, the other, love. Every relationship travels predominantly on one track or the other, creating entirely different journeys depending on which track you're on. According to Ruiz, most relationships operate primarily from fear, perhaps 95% fear and 5% love. Even the healthiest relationships might function with 60% fear and 40% love. Why? Because our domestication has trained us to approach relationships from a place of need, insecurity, and control rather than freedom, trust, and acceptance. The differences between these tracks are stark. Love has no obligations, while fear is full of them. When we feel we have to do something for our partner, we resist and suffer. Think about how differently you feel when you want to do something versus when you feel obligated. That's the difference between love and fear. Love has no expectations, so when we truly love, we aren't hurt when things don't go as planned. Fear, however, creates elaborate expectations that inevitably lead to disappointment. Consider how many arguments start with, "You should have known," or "I expected you to." Love respects others' choices, while fear tries to control them. When operating from love, we trust our partners to make their own decisions. From fear, we try to manipulate their choices to manage our own anxiety. Love shows compassion without pity. Fear feels sorry for others because it doesn't respect their strength. Compassion says, "I know you can handle this, and I'm here for you." Pity says, "You poor thing, you can't manage without me." In fear-based relationships, we create mental images of how others should be, then judge them when they inevitably fail to match these images. We set rules to protect ourselves from pain, then lie to avoid judgment when we can't meet others' expectations. This creates a cycle of dishonesty that erodes trust. A powerful example comes from couples therapy. John and Maria came in fighting constantly. When they examined their arguments, they realized they were trying to control each other out of fear. John wanted Maria to spend more time at home because he feared losing her. Maria wanted John to be more social because she feared judgment from friends and family. Neither was expressing love. Both were acting from fear. The solution? Recognize that in relationships, you're only responsible for your half. You can never know what's in another person's mind, and trying to control them shows disrespect rather than love. True partners are playmates who enjoy the relationship without trying to control each other's moves. In love, you give more than you take while still protecting yourself from those who would take advantage. This balance, generosity without self-sacrifice, creates sustainable, joyful relationships. When you catch yourself operating from fear, shift your attention to love and everything around you changes. True happiness comes from love flowing out of you. This is the mastery of love. Have you ever noticed how uncomplicated your relationship with your dog is? Your dog doesn't try to change you. It doesn't hold grudges or make you feel guilty. It simply loves you as you are, greeting you with the same enthusiasm whether you've been gone for 5 minutes or 5 hours. This, Ruiz suggests, is the model for the perfect human relationship. Imagine relating to your partner exactly as you relate to a beloved pet. A dog is what it is. You can't change it into a cat or horse. Similarly, you cannot change other people. You either love them as they are or you don't. This acceptance is the foundation of the perfect relationship. Your dog loves you unconditionally, without expectations. It does its part perfectly, greeting you happily, showing affection, while you do your part by caring for it. There's no power struggle, no attempt to control each other, just mutual respect and enjoyment. Why not apply this to human relationships? The right partner is someone compatible with your direction and values, emotionally, physically, economically, and spiritually. You'll know they're right when you love them exactly as they are, without wanting to change anything. When someone loves you just as you are, you can be yourself completely. People reveal who they are immediately upon meeting. You can easily see what you're buying and decide if it's what you want. Don't pretend someone is what they're not. Make honest choices based on compatibility, not wishful thinking. Consider James and Lisa. When they met, James was clear about not wanting children, while Lisa knew she wanted a family. Despite this fundamental incompatibility, they fell in love and married, each secretly hoping the other would change. 5 years later, their relationship ended painfully over the same issue that was evident from the beginning. If you're in a relationship that isn't working, either accept your partner completely or walk away respectfully. Trying to change someone is selfish and wastes both your time. A relationship is an art where each person handles their own garbage. You're responsible for your half, not for cleaning up your partner's issues. When your partner is unhappy, support doesn't mean becoming unhappy yourself. That helps no one. Instead, maintain your happiness as a lifeline they can grab onto. Give each other space to process emotions without interference. This balance of independence and support creates the foundation for a truly perfect relationship. In a healthy relationship, you're there to serve your lover without expecting anything in return. Sex becomes communion, surrendering, a dance, an expression of beauty. It's no longer about control, but service, something only possible when self-love is strong. Imagine having a magical kitchen that produces any food you desire in unlimited quantities. You generously share this food without conditions, simply for the joy of giving. If someone offered you pizza in exchange for controlling your life, you'd laugh. You already have all the food you need. Now imagine the opposite. You're starving with no money. When offered food in exchange for obedience, you'd likely comply, becoming a slave for sustenance. Eventually, you'd fear losing your source of nourishment. This metaphor brilliantly illustrates how love works. When your heart is full of self-love, you don't need anyone else's love to survive or be happy. You share your love freely, without conditions. But when starving for love, you'll do anything for even a little attention, allowing others to control you for scraps of affection. Your heart is this magical kitchen of love. We suffer because we've closed our hearts, afraid to love after past hurts. With self-judgment blocking self-love, we enter relationships selfishly, wanting someone who needs us rather than someone to genuinely love. Consider how many people stay in unhappy relationships because they fear being alone. They've forgotten they have a magical kitchen inside them, an unlimited capacity to generate love. Instead, they depend on others for emotional sustenance, creating relationships based on need rather than sharing. Human relationships often become wars of control, with both parties starving for love. What we call love is frequently selfishness, two people competing for attention while fearing rejection. We say, "I love you," but mean, "Please love me." We use guilt, blame, and emotional manipulation to extract love from others because we don't believe we can generate it ourselves. The real problem isn't others rejecting us, but our rejecting ourselves for not meeting impossible standards of perfection. After domestication, we can never forgive ourselves for not being what we wish to be. We project this self-rejection onto others, assuming they'll reject us for the same reasons we reject ourselves. The solution is developing a loving relationship with yourself. When you're complete with self-love, you can choose relationships rather than needing them. You'll seek partners for fun and sharing, not drama or control. This explains why the happiest people are often those who are comfortable being alone. They've discovered their magical kitchen. They know they're complete in themselves. From this place of fullness, they can form relationships based on sharing rather than need. Open your magical kitchen. Your heart can create unlimited love for yourself and others. When you're generous with love, everyone will love you in return. Selfishness comes from believing love is scarce. Generosity flows from knowing your heart's abundance. Without human judgment, everything in nature is perfect just as it is. Animals experience sexuality without shame, guilt, or obsession. But humans create elaborate mental structures around sex, turning a natural physical function into a source of suffering. The mind remembers and obsesses over sexual attraction, while the body would naturally respond and then let go. By judging ourselves, we create guilt and shame, turning natural feelings into obsessions. What starts as simple physical attraction becomes an elaborate mental game of fear, judgment, and self-punishment. Think about teenagers discovering their sexuality. In cultures with healthy attitudes toward sex, this discovery happens naturally with appropriate guidance. But in shame-based environments, young people learn to hide, repress, and feel guilty about normal feelings. This creates the foundation for sexual dysfunction later in life. We build tension through repression, then mistake the release of that tension for love, creating destructive relationships. How many people have confused intense sexual attraction with love, only to discover later they had little in common with their partner? The mind's obsession with sex can override our better judgment about compatibility. Our minds and bodies have completely different needs, yet the mind controls the body. While the body's needs are simple and easily satisfied, the mind creates endless, insatiable desires. The mind confuses the body's needs with its own, claiming, "I need food," or "I need sex," when these are physical needs, not mental ones. What the mind truly needs is love, not sex. The first step toward freedom is separating bodily needs from mental ones, understanding that the mind is not the body. Through self-awareness, we discover that we are not our beliefs, our bodies, or even our minds. We are the life force that animates everything. This understanding transforms our relationship with sexuality. When we stop judging our natural desires, they no longer control us. Sex becomes an expression of love rather than a compulsion or obsession. We can enjoy physical pleasure without the mental drama that turns desire into suffering. Consider how differently various cultures approach sexuality. Some celebrate it as a natural part of life, while others surround it with shame and secrecy. These attitudes aren't inherent to sexuality itself, but are created by our mental judgments. By healing the sexual wound, the split between mind and body created by judgment, we can experience sexuality as it's meant to be, a natural, joyful expression of our life force. This healing begins with self-acceptance and ends with the integration of mind, body, and spirit in the experience of love. In Greek mythology, Artemis was the supreme huntress who lived in perfect harmony with the forest. She hunted effortlessly, with everything she needed coming to her naturally. When Hercules was ordered to hunt Artemis in her deer form, he succeeded only by borrowing Hermes' wings. This triggered Artemis to obsessively hunt Hercules in return, believing she was in love with him. Her obsession destroyed her harmony with nature, as she became a predator, hunting for pleasure rather than need. She suffered whenever Hercules left, becoming jealous and possessive. Only when Hermes revealed her fall did she regain awareness and seek forgiveness, returning to her divine nature. This powerful myth illustrates how we all hunt for what we believe we need, especially love. We hunt in other humans, expecting them to provide what they don't possess themselves. We become obsessed with particular people, believing they're the source of our happiness, only to discover that this obsession creates suffering rather than joy. The true hunt must be directed inward, capturing the love inside ourselves. Within our minds exists both hunter and prey. The parasite, our self-judgment, hunts our emotional body constantly, feeding on fear, drama, and suffering. To free ourselves, we must become better hunters than the parasite, working vigilantly to track our own reactions. This is the path of the warrior, one who hunts themselves to break free from the dream that controls their life. The warrior observes their own reactions without judgment, recognizing patterns of fear and self-rejection that create suffering. Consider how this plays out in relationships. When your partner says something that triggers you, do you react automatically with anger or hurt? Or can you observe your reaction and choose a different response? The warrior notices the trigger, but doesn't allow it to control their behavior. To hunt yourself, you need to be a better hunter than the parasite, which works 24 hours a day and knows you intimately. In relationships, your partner's parasite often allies with your own against the real you. Understanding this allows you to have compassion when your partner gets upset or jealous, recognizing it's not them but their parasite. By not taking their behavior personally and giving them space to deal with their own dream, you can maintain a wonderful relationship. This doesn't mean tolerating abuse. It means understanding that people's hurtful behaviors stem from their own wounds, not from your worth as a person. The inner hunt requires courage and vigilance. You must be willing to face your fears and insecurities, to see yourself clearly without flinching. But the reward is freedom. Freedom from the tyranny of self-judgment and the ability to love without fear. How do we heal the wounds that prevent us from experiencing love fully? Ruiz offers a powerful three-step process: truth, forgiveness, and self-love. To heal our emotional wounds, we must approach them as we would physical wounds. Open them, clean them, apply medicine, and keep them clean until they heal. The truth serves as our scalpel, opening wounds covered by our denial system of lies. By looking at our wounds with eyes of truth, we can finally heal them. The truth is relative in this world of illusion. What's true now may not be true later. To find truth, follow three rules: don't believe me, don't believe yourself, and don't believe anyone else. By not believing, whatever is untrue will disappear like smoke. Only what is true will survive skepticism. Consider how many relationship problems stem from denial. We pretend we're not hurt when we are. We say we're fine with situations that actually cause us pain. We lie to ourselves about our needs and expectations. These lies create distance and misunderstanding, preventing genuine connection. Once we open the wounds with truth, we must clean them of poison through forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't for others, it's for your own mental healing, an act of self-love. You'll know you've forgiven when you can think of someone who hurt you and feel nothing. Many people resist forgiveness, believing it means condoning harmful behavior. But forgiveness doesn't mean what happened was okay. It means you're no longer willing to carry the emotional burden of resentment. It's about freeing yourself, not absolving others. The supreme forgiveness is forgiving yourself, which leads to self-acceptance and self-love. Once the wounds are clean, apply the medicine of unconditional love. Love without ifs or justifications. Love yourself, your neighbors, and your enemies. But remember, you cannot love others until you love yourself. Love coming from within is the only path to happiness. Your body contains billions of living cells that depend on you completely. You are their God. While these cells remain loyal to you in perfect harmony, the mind often abuses and mistreats the body through harsh judgments and self-rejection. Just as Artemis needed to apologize to the forest after her fall, we must acknowledge our mistreatment of our bodies and restore that loving relationship. If you reject your own body, this rejection reflects in all your relationships. Your self-perception creates fears that others will reject you for the same reasons you reject yourself. To create a heavenly relationship, you must accept your body completely, loving it without shyness or fear. These three keys, truth, forgiveness, and self-love, can heal the entire world. As taught by Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, and other masters, these principles can transform our mental hospital into heaven on earth. The question remains, what will you do with these tools? You are the force that plays with your mind and uses your body as its favorite toy. You're here to play and have fun, not to suffer. We suffer because we've learned to suffer, making choices based on the belief that suffering is normal, supported by religions teaching that life is a valley of tears. Heaven and hell exist now, in the mind. If we suffer in life, we continue suffering after death because the mind continues dreaming. By taking responsibility for your life and actions, you can live in heaven while alive. The dream most humans create is hell, but there's no one to blame, not your parents or yourself. Everything is perfect as it is. Even hell can be beautiful when we understand it's just a dream we can change. Wisdom means freedom, a healthy mind free of the parasite. When you're wise, you become who you really are without effort. You accept yourself completely, which leads to accepting others. You respect your body, mind, and soul. Your life becomes controlled by your heart, not your head. When you surrender to what you truly are, suffering ends because there's no resistance to God. Imagine awakening completely healed, without wounds or emotional poison. This awakening crosses a line of no return. You see everything as it is, not according to beliefs. You're the only sober person at a party of drunks, but with compassion because you were once drunk too. Like Brahma in the ancient story, who was cut into pieces by Maya and placed inside every human, you can awaken to your divinity and help others awaken too. This truth is taught by traditions worldwide, finding God within yourself and opening your heart to love. You are life itself, but you've forgotten because of programming. You are what you believe you are, for humans are powerful magicians. We create our own boundaries and limitations. Whatever we believe becomes our truth. The Toltec prophecies foresee a new world where humans take responsibility for their own beliefs and become their own gurus. You found God within yourself. Your body and mind are living temples. Your aliveness is the proof of God's presence. You don't need to do anything to reach enlightenment. You're already with God. The only thing left is to enjoy your life, heal your emotional body, and share the love inside you. What makes you happy is the love coming out of you, not the love others have for you. When you master fear and self-rejection, returning to self-love, you transform your personal dream from fear to love. Life is a dream, and with love, your dream becomes a masterpiece of art. This is the ultimate mastery, the mastery of love.